Hi, I'm Christine Ming Ming Garner. I grew up living in fear, raised in a doomsday cult. They taught me I would die at a young age, that I would never graduate from high school, college, have a family, or a career. In the years since my escape, I've been learning to overcome the fear and living my life with the purpose and by design. I'm a wife, a mother of three, an entrepreneur of a seven-figure business, and I'm on a mission to guide people to overcome their fears, to live a life of fulfillment as I have done. This is The Fulfilled Life with Ming Ming. Welcome to The Fulfilled Life with Ming Ming. This is where I get to interview entrepreneurs and influencers who have overcome adversity to now live a life of fulfillment. Today, I have an incredible guest, and I hope I don't botch her name. Her name is Bilithis Talagrand. Is that correct? She is French, living in Portugal. I am feeling like I'm getting all sorts of culture today. It's wonderful. So thank you so much for being here with us, Bilithis.
Well, thank you so much, Mimin, for having me on your podcast. It's really such an opportunity. And yes, very blessed to be here with you today.
Thank you. So tell me, what does your life look like today?
Oh, wow. So yes, I love to talk about today. Like today, my life looks like I'm choosing what I want to do. I'm choosing my schedule. I'm choosing what I want to do at this time, this afternoon. And I'm choosing when I want to do my me time. Because it didn't used to be like that.
That's real freedom, right? When you have the time and the opportunity to do what it is that you want in your life. So I love that. Thank you. So tell me about your past life and your story of overcoming the messy parts of your life.
Yes, we have to talk about what's under the iceberg and not only the tip of the iceberg. Yeah. And I wasn't always like this, what I am right now today, which is like, you know, today it's more about being more self-confident, driven, determined, and planning me time. Up to 2 years ago, I was really like living based on others' expectation. I thought others had from me. I was putting others first, thinking it would work that way. Then August 2018, after working for 3 years for the same company within the hospitality industry, accumulating stress, fatigue, bad eating habits, and lack of resting, well, I almost did a burnout. And by nature, you know, I'm known as someone being optimistic. But back then, I was feeling sad for no reason. My motivation was low, and I knew I had to change for things to change. So that's when I decided to leave the company I was working for and went for traveling as my therapy through Europe, Asia, and settled in Australia. So since the last 2 years, I continued relentlessly what I started when I was 17 years old, invest in my self-growth. So like really, you know, through reading, listening, and attending events, especially one event that really marked me was to attend last June 2019, Robin Sharma event.
Yes, I love Robin Sharma.
And yes, it was on Personal Mastery Academy where, you know, through 2 days we go full in and work on ourselves and connect with others. And as well, you know, what is most important for me is really the application part of what I was learning. And this is really my obsession and the message I want to share. My obsession is to reduce the time between you learn something intellectually and something that you apply for your own good. So these last 2 years, I've been really accumulated days of making change and delete toxic habits and create better ones.
I love that, Bilithis. So what you're saying is, let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Your obsession is that you work hard to reduce the time between time you learn something to the time you apply that. Mm-hmm. I love that because, you know, I am an avid learner. Like I'm a voracious reader, podcaster. I just love listening to audiobooks, things like that. What I have found, and also challenges, I've been in more challenges than you can believe. Anyways, but I will learn, right? And truly, Einstein on his best day could only remember 13% of what he heard, right? Mm. And so I know for a fact I am no Einstein, but like I'm learning all of these things and then like I'm not applying it or executing on that strategy right away, so I lose it. Mm. So what is your strategy to reduce the time between learning something and actually applying it into your life?
Ah, I love the question. Well, how do I do that? Well, I really go step by step because you don't want to put too much on your plate. If not, you feel again overwhelmed and you go backward.
Oh, yeah.
So really how I started with baby step and I used, you know, one of this model of Robin Sharma about the protocol of habits installation, which based on a study of London University, it takes 66 days to implement a habit. So,
really?
Yes, we are told 21, but it's actually like 66, and it's cut in three periods of 22 days each. And so wow. The first period is about the deconstruction of the old habit to replace it. The middle one is the messy part because, you know, you are in between, I want to continue this new habit. I don't have the time for it, but I want to continue because it's giving me, for example, meditation. It's giving me so much, it's giving me energy and but I don't have the time. So the second period is in between the messy part. And then the last 22 days is really the implementation part where you arrive to a point where it's easier of doing the new habit than not doing it.
Oh, if I could only get to that part. So many new habits that I'm trying to form. That's fascinating. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. I actually wrote that down. So it takes 66 days to instill a new habit, 22 days at a time.
Exact. And so how I like to do that, I love the topic of habits.
Me too.
How do you place a habit? Well, actually, to build your habit, you built it next to something you're already used to do. For example, every morning we brush our teeth. Mm. Mm-hmm. So then you want to build up around this habit something next to it that you want to do each day. It could be like after you brush your teeth, you will go for a walk half an hour, or you read 10 minutes. And that's another thing about habits is that you start small. So let's say you want to read this book. Well, you start by 10 minutes. You want to read half an hour. Let's say you want to read half an hour per day. That's your goal. Well, you're going to start small. So you're going to start with 5 minutes. And then you increase the pace. And then when you're up to your 30 minutes, you are done with this habit and you build up another one next to it.
I love that because what you're talking about to me is like foundation. So start with your foundation, which is something that you've already created the habit of. Mm-hmm. Building upon that foundation with a new habit. Because I can understand how it would be so difficult if you have one habit that you're trying to form, like let's say reading a book, but you haven't... Mm-hmm. You haven't cemented that. And then you're already trying to, after I read for 30 minutes, I'm going to go on a 30 minute run. It's like, there's no foundation. You're working on shaky ground. So I really love that you brought that up. And also starting small, there's something I'd love to share with you is, I listened to, my goodness, I think his name is Dr. Rangan something. It was on Murray Forleo's podcast. And he talked about this book I just purchased. And it was Feel Better in 5 Minutes. That's what it's called. Feel Better in 5 Minutes. Mm-hmm. And he talks about 5-minute health snacks. And not just like literal snacks that you're putting in your mouth, but it's like snacks for the body, for mm-hmm. the mind, and for your spirit. And so like a 5-minute snack, that health snack that you could be doing for your mind, is reading for 5 minutes. But when he tells people to start a new habit, it's like, no, you do it for like 5 minutes for the first week. Because it's not about, it's about feeling great about yourself. And afterwards, celebrating, being like, I'm awesome. And he's British, so he's like, oh, I don't know how I can get British people to say, I'm awesome. You know, maybe that's an American thing. We're such great at, good at self-promoting. But I have kind of, I've taken that on. And I love that, is, you know, start small with your habits. So thank you for that.
You're most welcome. And it's actually what got me to, you know, build my morning practice, my evening practice, my afternoon, you know, my afternoon, what we call second window workouts, which is like a space where you do your sports and you have a break between your professional part and personal part, and to get you back on energy.
I love that.
And yes, and it's really thanks to breaking down the habit and how habit is formed that I'm able to go through my day with a strong beginning and a middle, control, and finish up on a brilliant end, you know, by having this night routine.
Oh, I love that. See, now I am very strong with the morning routine. I am adamant about having my 1 hour for my miracle morning routine, but I do not have like a midday routine like you're talking about. And I do have like a somewhat of an evening routine, depending on how well my children will go to bed.
Of course.
But I know that I shouldn't make it based upon them, that I should do, because I have noticed a huge difference on the days that I give myself the time to do a full evening routine. But I'd really love to learn from you in regards to your midday routine. And I'd like to ask you, in Portugal, do they take naps?
Good question.
Like a midday nap?
Yeah, there is probably the culture of napping. You're right. I have to be transparent with you. I don't have the answer. However, it's really a Latin thing to have some nap when possible.
Do they call it a siesta?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Now you got it.
The reason I bring this up is because last year I went to Vietnam. That's my home country.
Yes.
And I was amazed that no matter what, every single day at noon, they're eating their lunch really fast and they take a nap without fail. Like if you go to the bank, you know, they're closed, but if you look through the window, they have their mats rolled out and they're laying, you know, they're laying on the ground. They're laying, you know, halfway on their desk. And even like I went on a boat, right? I went fishing with my family on the boat. And at noon, we got onto this little dock and there was hammocks and everybody slept.
Wow.
I was like, I love this. I just thought, man, if only Americans could adopt this into their culture, we would be so much more effective, so much more productive. So please share with me what your midday rejuvenation
is. Sure. So actually what I do is that straight after a light lunch, straight after that, I go to my personal space and I sit down, and actually I do a mindfulness practice, which is like really like 5 minutes. And you can do it anywhere, because the main goal is that you have your head supported, your back as well supported. So you can do it seated. And simply closing your eyes and focusing on your breath. So then you breathe in for 2 times, 1, 2, and then you exhale for 3 times. You can have your closed eyes and you do this like 10 times. And at the same time, to reach the mindfulness, the goal is like you can feel as well, you know, with your 5 senses. Just like check with yourself, what are you feeling? What do you have, any taste? What can you see, even so you have your eyes closed? What can you touch if you have your hands on you? And it, the goal of that is really that in 5 minutes, you will recenter yourself in the present moment and you will recuperate, you will get back a bit, you will give a break to your body. Your brain is still on, but your body is having a break.
I love that. I like really a lot that you brought up the five senses, because I practice yoga, but oftentimes, you know, at the very end when we're doing our relaxation practice, I don't often think about, you know, the utilizing the five senses. I'm trying to like relax my jaw and my shoulders and my neck and, you know, all the way down the line. But I really appreciate that you talk about the five senses. So in 5 minutes, you really think that somebody can reach mindfulness in 5 minutes?
Yes, because the goal is really to give yourself a break and be be in do not disturb mode. And you are in D&D and like just with yourself sitting down and focusing on your breath, and it allows you to focus on, to be back on here. But focusing on your breathing is the trick is on what you put your focus on. And by focusing on your breathing, you have like less stronger thoughts.
Yeah.
But of course, my second weapon now is that, like, you know, it's, should I share it? Actually, you know, first asking, like, do you want to know?
Yes, I would love to know. I'm like, I'm enthralled practices.
Yes. So actually, yes, the second thing is as well, you know, beginning of like mid-afternoon, let's say, and for sure before dinner, to do a second round of meditation. 15 minutes. And the 15 minutes starts with mindfulness, which is a practice I've told you just before. Then you jump in into 10 minutes of meditation where you are after your mantra. So repeating a word, and you don't have to, you know, you don't have to, it's okay if you have thoughts coming, you know, it's not, the point of meditation is not to be a great meditator, is to be better at life. So
I love that because I will have to tell you, I am a real failure when it comes to real, like, being meditative. I really struggle with the monkey mind, so that's definitely a skill that I would like to build into a true habit. So,
and yes, and I would love to share more with you about it. And it's actually, yes. So the meditation part starts with a mindfulness part. Then you jump in with your mantra and you repeat this word. And if thoughts come in, it's okay. It's called the mantra party, you know, and the thought is coming and you have the mantra at the same time. And it's all good. You just go with it. As long as you refocus your attention with the mantra, and then thoughts can come over, it's okay. You let them come, and then you go back to your mantra. And then you can, you know, if you're not sure what time is it, you look at your clock, no alarm, nothing, because if not, it will disturb you. Better have your clock just to check it. And you finish up by releasing the mantra. And the last 2 minutes, you spend them on being grateful, you know, on what has been the morning for you, or in general, what you're grateful for. And you end up your practice like this, by gently, you know, connecting back, like moving your hands and opening your eyes smoothly. And then for me, I've been practicing meditation for now 2 years. However, what has been accelerating my sense that meditation is being deeper is by taking this training by Ziva, delivered by Emily Fletcher. And I am right now on my day 13. And we're doing two times a day now. And I can feel, like, just in 72 hours, I can feel like how my mind is more clear when it's like 8 p.m., 10 p.m. I feel more rested. And with the time, actually, you need less sleep because of the power of your meditation, of the resting state. That's what I can share right now in the time we have. But and one more thing is that, you know, it's as well to show you that I'm constantly learning things, trying things out. And that's why, you know, like, and if there is a way to improve, like for the meditation practice, going there and improve it, to be able to have more energy and to be able as well to be more focused on my mission.
Oh, I love that. There's something that you said, and I'm writing down so many notes and so many questions for you. There's something that was really impactful to me. You said meditation is not about, or not just about being a good meditator. Mm-hmm. It's about being better at life.
Yes.
Did you get that from somebody, or can I quote that?
Of course, you do well. You. I would love, like, and it's good you are talking about it again, because I would love that this phrase is from me, but actually this phrase is from Emily Clutcher, the founder of Ziva Meditation.
Emily Fletcher?
Fletcher, yeah, Fletcher.
Okay, I'm going to write it down, because that was very impactful to me. Oh, because truly, couldn't we all be better at life?
Sure, yes we can, and it's on our hands to be better at life. It's just the first steps that matter in the journey.
Yes.
The first step.
I can totally see why it is that people hire you to help them in their transformation. Like, this is so amazing. Just these, I mean, sometimes people can think that these are just little tips, but it's the little things in life that make, that add up and make a big difference, right? So yes. I'd like to ask you some questions, if that's okay. So first of all, you said light lunch, and maybe that resonated with me for the moment because I'm a little bit hungry, but light lunch, I want to talk about this because you're French. It's not every day that I get to speak to somebody that's French, but they always talk about, you know, how beautiful French women are and how healthy and how slender French women are. And so you totally fit this description. So when you say light lunch, that is something that's very cultural, right?
Well, yes and no, because if I was really being French on my diet, I would eat white bread, baguette, I would eat cheese. I would eat salami, saucisson, but all of this is not good for us, for our energy level, because, you know, it's taking more time for our digestion to work on us. And so the energy that you put in your digestion is not going for you to your brain, for example, and to work and be inventive and creative. So for me, a light lunch, it's avocado, tomatoes, olive oil, and pepper, and a fruit.
Ooh.
And like a rice cracker to replace the bread part. Yes, for me, it's a salad and olive oil. Like this, you can totally say, yeah, it's very South and Latino for the olive oil part.
Oh, I love that. Okay, and then, question for you in regards to do not disturb. I love that you used that term, because I wish I had a do not disturb sign that my children would actually adhere to. Well, my children, to be honest, are two of them are too young to even read. But if I could get them to understand the do not disturb, I mean, I truly can't even use the restroom without their fingers under the door being like, mama, 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 you know? So what kind of advice or suggestions do you have for mothers like myself who struggle with, you know, hey, I have my do not disturb time. Let me do my meditation, my rejuvenation for even 5 minutes. What kind of advice do you have for us?
Yes. So I would say, so I don't have kids yet, and I'm used to be the kid still, but I would say that, you know, for hearing mothers sharing as well how they're doing it, it's, for example, for the meditation practice, is all about, you know, with the time when they see you meditate, they will feel like, oh, mom is being nicer to me when she did her meditation thing, you know, when like. So it's going to become like, you know, it's going to become like, hey, leave mom alone, you know, she needs her meditation time, you know, because she's nicer.
I love that.
And yes. And, you know, it's, yes, it's as well, maybe like, you know, going like, hey, you know, mama is going to do her 5-minute voodoo thing or meditation thing, you know, and she's going to be super nice after that, you know? So, you know, and once they notice that your behavior is corresponding to what you set the expectation for them.
I love that.
Maybe right. They will protect you.
It's like a learning experience on both ends, right? Like I'm learning how to be meditative and also being better at life. And they're learning that if they allow me that space, that they benefit from it too. I like that. I actually really think that I could potentially teach my children this.
Good.
You have it. Okay, so I'm curious, what is your absolute favorite mantra?
Oh, okay. Well, to be honest, I've discovered like mantras 13 days ago. And what I learned with mantra, 13 days, when I started the challenge.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, yeah, because the thing is, well, I heard about mantra before because as well, I did yoga and so on. And I love the home, you know, like the home mantra. And at the same time, doing the course with Emily Fletcher, we are learning as well that mantra are actually a vehicle to our meditation, you know, to clear. And the mantra are like based on Sanskrit that are words that actually don't even mean something or exist. Like it's, I didn't know that before. I thought it was a language and, you know, it means something, but apparently it does not. So my mantra is Satya, which I chose it because it came naturally. We had three propositions and this one resonated the most with me. And you will understand soon why. So the mantra is called Satya and it means truth.
Truth.
It's what they attach to it. It's what they attach to it. So it's not like English or French or that. It means that they created it like kind of, they created the mantra just for the purpose of having a vehicle to focus on, to get into the meditation state.
Wow. That's so neat. That's deep that you can create your own mantra, a word, and then attach a meaning to it. It's like creating your own language.
Yes, you got it.
I love that.
Because actually Emily Fletcher was sharing that this word they give us don't have any meaning together. However, because now they have given the training to over 10,000 people, well, a certain energy is attached to the word now.
Yes.
Because some of us has used it. And that's why we can notice that, oh yes, things are moving around in my life, you know, like through the meditation, the mantra I'm using, but it's as well because of the print that others left on the mantra.
Thank you for sharing that with us. So before we started recording, we talked about a couple things that I really want to make sure that I bring up. So
sure.
I loved that you talked about, well, first of all, your coaching. Tell me a little bit about your coaching and how people can connect with you in regards to you helping them be better at life.
Yes. Thank you, Mimina. And you're right. It's about being better at life one day at a time. And so really, for me, I like to support individuals who want more for themselves. But at first, they will get more for themselves. And they know that they need to get more for themselves to be able to be of service to others. So this is who I'm looking at. And I'm excited to share conversation with. It is those who want to make an impact. Absolutely. And so me, it's really about, you know, reach me out for a conversation. And through the conversation, I will get to understand your world, your vision, where you want to go. And I like to call me like the your dream project manager, you know,
to be project manager.
Yes. Yeah. To be there for you to understand your vision and what are your limitations, what are your blockages in terms of mindset, for example, how is it that you didn't achieve it yet? What are the blockages? Or if you don't have a vision, well, let's work on that and let's understand what you're truly, truly invested in. What is it for you that matters the most? all of that, you know, how do you want to be remembered when you're not anymore there? Because by starting by the end, it gets us clearer on the right now.
Oh, I just had an aha moment while you were talking, just talking about how you are a dream project manager. And I love that so much. And for me, I love helping people, especially getting clarity on their vision, mm-hmm. which is really, you know, their dream for living their best life. And it made me think, what title could I give to myself? And what came to mind was like a legacy facilitator. But although the facilitator part, that word isn't really resonating with me quite so much. But I'm going to write that down because that just really helped me.
Legacy creator,
A creator of legacy. Oh, I love it. Thank you for helping me have that aha moment. Isn't that the most wonderful thing about learning from other people is you can take what their life experiences and build upon it and make your life better. So well, thank you for that. There's also something else that you brought up that I thought was extremely valuable. You said, you know, because not everybody has this overwhelming story of trauma or this insane amount of adversity in their life, like a movie or a storybook. There's something that you talked about that I think everybody needs to hear, because I know that everybody needs to feel validated in their life, that if you're struggling with something, it's okay to not be okay. Even if it's from something that's not something that you think is extremely traumatic. But anyways, can you talk about that? Because I thought that was very...
Yeah, sure, Minmin. And so yes, what I mean is that, you know, when we shared is that if we compare both of our story and for the audience, if you didn't check Minmin's story, well, please go ahead and check it more further, because it you will better understand why she's doing right now what she's doing. And because of your story behind, with so much so much trauma behind it, well, compared to mine, I didn't have that much trauma. So I could think to myself, well, I didn't have Mimi in life. I didn't go through, you know, like for, I'm not a kid from a divorced parent, or my family is doing great. But still I have a story to share. So we should not underestimate what we are going through, because we should definitely open up on it, because it will support others who are going through similar difficulties. And above all, we should not wait that something huge happened to us, like the loss of someone or a fire or anything extreme, to change. Change is really a day after day and now, because the only thing you can control is now.
Thank you so much for that. I just feel like people need to feel validated in whatever trial, challenge that they're facing. And also, yes, the biggest thing is you don't need a huge life traumatic experience to be a catalyst for change for you. It can be something that's very simple as even a thought that says, you know what, I want to live a better life. You know, what can I do to progress? And so thank you so much for that. All right, Vilithis, how can people connect with you after this podcast?
Yes, sure. And I love connecting with others. So you can reach me out on Instagram at Vilithis Connection, and as well on Facebook as Vilithis TLJ.
Yes. And I will be sure to put those in the show notes. And I'm so excited to be with you on your journey as you're transforming people's lives. So thank you so much for this amazing interview. I look forward to continuing to stay connected with you. And for my audience, please stay connected. Get connected with Vilithis, because obviously,
I will.
Even from our interview today, she just has so much to share and so many ways to help you live a better life. So thank you again.
Thank you so much, Minmin. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of The Fulfilled Life with Ming Ming. If anything you heard was inspiring or resonated with you, please subscribe, leave a review, and share this with your friends and family. I'm Christine Ming Ming Garner. I'll see you in the next episode. Until then, always remember, fulfillment is your birthright.